This morning, we are starting a brand new series, message series, or we're kind of even calling it a movement, and we've just been titling it Pray First. Pray First. And listen, you heard me reference this earlier in the service, but I believe today is a massively important Sunday morning. Right now, this matters. And of course, we think every service, every Sunday matters, and every service is important, because every time we gather together, like, we're a church that just believes that we have an opportunity to meet with God and to experience Him. But like, it's even more than that today, because today is really this important explanation of the direction that we feel that God is leading our church for 2021 and beyond. And so that sounds like an important thing, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. Four of us think that is important, all right, and that's okay. See, I believe that God is asking our church to change something specific about our culture, our church culture. And maybe that word culture in talking about church kind of sounds weird. Let me quickly explain. Our church has a culture. You probably don't think of it that way, but this is why you can go to two different churches that pretty much believe the exact same things, but the service and the church feels completely different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, absolutely. Things can at the core be very much the same, but the feel and the church in itself is very, very different. And our leadership understands this, and we work very hard at creating, cultivating, and fighting for a culture here that honors God in everything that we do, but also is strategic about things. We believe in kind of a church strategy in a way, in the way that we do things, okay? And we could spend all sorts of time talking about the culture of our church, but for the sake of time, let's just get to where we're headed today. We feel very strongly that God is leading us to adjust something in the culture of our church, to adjust something in the way that we do things around here, is a way that you could say it. And very simply, it revolves around the topic of prayer. So listen to this. We feel God is leading River of Life Church here in Sauk Center and in our location in Long Prairie to an elevated culture of prayer in 2021. And we believe that this culture of prayer will forever change things for our church family and for us as individual Christians. All right? And now don't miss this here. Like, prayer is already very important to us here at church. It's important to the way that we do things. We have prayer teams, you saw those. We pray for people every Sunday. We have a time in our service where we kind of slow down and we pray together. We have life group topics on prayer, and the last Sunday of the month, we've been gathering together for an evening of specific, like a prayer service. We've called those our deeper services. People in our services write down prayer needs, and we pray for those throughout the week. We start our pastors' meetings every Tuesday with a time of prayer. We start our board meetings as the leadership of the church with a time of prayer. We have prayer chains, and we pray for okay, prayer matters to us. Even right now, it matters to us. But I believe, like, God has just been moving in me. And this is not a recent thing. This has been like a couple years where God has been asking us to figure out how to move in this direction when it comes to the topic of prayer. And before I tell you why, and before I tell you what all this means, I want us to take a moment and pray. Sound like a good idea? All right, so will you stand with me all over this place? And we're just going to pause right now in our service, and we're just going to ask God to kind of move in this moment here, all right? And so, Father, we take a deep breath, and we ask for you to truly be the center of what we do. God, that we would hear from you as we open your word, as we look to your son and what he did and the way he lived. Lord, I pray that this would challenge us and change us and move us, God. God, I need you right now. And so will you please use me and fill me and, God, help me. And so, God, we just lay this before you today, and it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, turn to somebody and say, you better get ready, and then go ahead and have a seat. All right, speaking of prayer, do you know who mice pray to? Mice, when they pray, do you know who they pray to? They pray to Jesus. Jesus, Ron, Jesus. Did you get it? Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Oh my goodness. That's, yeah. All right, we're going to fly through. How did you do that when you said Jesus? Did you have to spell it? Yes. Sounds like, and you had to tell them it sounds like Jesus, and okay, that's too bad. But that's all right. Dad jokes don't always work very well. In real life either, do they? Yeah, I'm with you. But all right, we're going to fly through some important Bible stuff here and then piece together where we feel God leading our church. And then we're going to challenge you personally. So that's what you're going to see here over the next few minutes. Matthew chapter 21 tells this interesting story of Jesus getting very angry. It's really the only time we see him act like this, where, you know, typically Jesus is compassionate, he is calm, he, you know, all of these types of things. We have one spot where he is angry, and it's directly related to what he saw as he walked into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The temple would have been this massive church kind of building, bigger than you could even ever imagine, actually, a huge thing, a place of reverence and worship, a place where people gathered to read scripture, offer sacrifices. Okay, there was a lot of different religious type of things that went on in the Jewish temple. But Jesus walks in and he is disgusted by what he saw. Let me read this to you instead of just telling you, okay? Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Jesus walks into the temple with his disciples, and people had set up all of these tables in kind of the courtyard, and they were selling things. They were making money from the people who were going to worship. It even talks about selling doves. That was a part of a sacrificial thing that they would have done. Okay, money changers. People were benefiting personally in a financial way from the church, from the temple. Jesus walks in and literally starts flipping out. Like he's flipping tables on their sides and making a scene. Can you imagine Jesus doing this? Okay, this is absolutely crazy. He's furious, and then he makes this statement. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Now understand, Jesus could have used any sort of words here to describe his house, to describe the temple. He could have said, this needs to be a house of worship. This should be a house of helping people. This should be a house of, like, focused on the Bible or encouraging each other. Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer. For Jesus, the temple, or today we could say the church, must be centered around prayer. That's where we're starting, okay? Prayer was vitally important to Jesus. Vitally important. And understand, for Jesus, not only was prayer important in this church setting, but prayer was vitally important to his personal life and to the way that he lived and what he did. Let me show you this quickly. Okay, I'm going to put up about five scripture verses very fast. Luke chapter 5 says, the news about him spread all the more, so crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What word is used to describe Jesus spending time with God in prayer? The word is often. Often. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. There's thousands of people everywhere in both of these situations. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus tells his disciples, go on ahead. And he separates himself from this crowd, and he goes to do what? Goes up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Luke chapter 6, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Jesus spent the night praying to God. Mark chapter 1, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Early in the morning, Jesus gets out. He leaves the disciples and everyone else, goes off all by himself to pray. Matthew chapter 26, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and I pray." Again, Jesus, with a few of his disciples, separates himself and goes off in praise. Prayer was vitally important to Jesus. And I was, like, as I was putting this together, I was absolutely amazed with how often and the wording that is used to describe Jesus and his prayer life and the way that he prayed and how often, like, there's people all around him all the time, yet he makes it a point to wander off early in the morning, all night long, in the middle of the day, separating himself from people, prioritizing this thing called prayer. Prioritizing that. This is the Son of God, by the way, walking this earth, modeling for us how to live, how to act, how to interact with people, how to have a life-giving, powerful relationship with God. Prayer was vitally important to Jesus, okay? Because understand, prayer was Jesus' connection with God. It was his connection with God. Like, what do you mean it was his connection with God? Jesus is the Son of God. Check this out. John chapter 5. When I read this week, it like, all right? Are you with me? So here we go. John 5, 16. The Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father. Therefore, making himself equal with God. Verse 19, check this out. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Don't miss this. Jesus just said that he can do nothing by himself. Do you hear that? Jesus said that. "I can do nothing." Like, wait a second, Jesus. You're the Son of God. You're walking around doing miracles all the time. You're teaching these amazing things. And you're saying you can do nothing by yourself? Come on, like, give yourself a little bit of credit here, right? I mean, seriously, Jesus. You are God in flesh, like phenomenal cosmic power in an itty-bitty living space. That was funny if you have kids, all right? Some of you are like, "I do not get that joke," and that's okay. All right? You do miracles. You heal people. You bring people back from the dead. Like, you're saying you can't do any of those things on your own. And Jesus says, like, "I don't do supernatural things because I am God. I do supernatural things because of my connection with the Father." What? "None of it is on my own," is the words that he says. Process this out here with me for a second. Jesus felt the need to spend time in prayer with the Father often. And then he makes the statement, "I cannot do anything on my own." And this is why, by the way, at one point Jesus says this about us. John 14, 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works." Because listen, not only was prayer Jesus' connection with God, but also prayer is our connection with God. You and I have access to that same connection, the same connection that led to Jesus doing incredible, miraculous things. It's available for you and available for me. Like, I'm telling you, there's this power, there's this vitality, this incredible life that goes along with connection with God through prayer. And here's what I know. Many, many, many people in churches all across America are missing this. They're missing it. They're missing this powerful connection with God through prayer. Prayer is our connection with God. It's like this, picture this with me, it's like this invisible cord in a way that is connecting you, connecting me with God. And where he goes, like in a powerful life-giving way, we go. And when circumstances seem to be difficult, we feel him closer than ever. Why? Because he's right there and there's this connection with him. With our relationship with God is built on this constant communication. Prayer is our connection with God. And listen, like prayer, this, it is powerful. It moves things. Prayer changes things. In fact, the lyrics to one of my favorite Christian songs is a song that's called Awake My Soul. And the song says this, it says, when he moves, and when we pray, where stood a wall now stands away. Come on, somebody. I should have heard like at least two, wow, that was goods, or something. All right, because that was good. Like, why do we pray? Because it's our connection with God, but it also produces results. It moves mountains. It changes situations, and prayer changes us. I know people who say, you think your prayers were answered? Oh, that's just a coincidence. Listen to me. I know this. More coincidences seem to happen in people who pray. Okay? And so many people are missing this. So many people are messing this up. So many people are like are living these complacent, lacking, lame spiritual lives. And we have no idea what's available to us through prayer. I have no idea. We have access to the like to this intimate, life-giving, powerful relationship with the very God of creation, but we settle for this McDonald's version of Christianity, where we come through the drive-through once a week on Sunday mornings, if that, and get our little thing, and we wonder why we have diarrhea. I don't know where that came from. That was not a part of this. But we live a life that costs us nothing and a life that is no different than the people around us. We live like just these complacent, self-purposed, self-centered life that accomplishes very little for the kingdom of God, if anything at all. And we feel unfulfilled because we're not filling our lives with the very things that we were meant to be filled with through this connection. Powerful things that happen through prayer. All right, Jesus talked about the temple being a house of prayer. Jesus prioritized spending time in prayer. Jesus's power, his miracles, the supernatural stuff that defined him in his ministry for much of the Bible seemed to come from his time spent in prayer. And we believe that prayer is powerful. We believe that prayer is our connection and prayer changes things. And this is where, for me, God is calling us to take this to a new level. Like I'm tired of complacent American Christianity, and God has pinpointed this for me as connecting with him more and more efficiently. And figuring out as a church how to do it. Like, I believe God is calling our church, like large group, a community, to something bigger. I believe God is calling you to something bigger. As we take this seriously and we become people of prayer, God is asking us to develop a culture of prayer like never before here at River of Life Church. To the point where it's just the way we do things around here, it's just a part of who we are and everything we do. And you're going to hear us use the phrase, we pray first. You're going to hear this. We pray first. In fact, go ahead and put that slide up here for me quickly. You got a little piece of paper when you walked in, hopefully, if you grabbed one of those. If you didn't grab one, ushers, grab a pile and walk the aisles here really quickly. If you didn't grab one of those, raise your hand and they're going to give one to you, okay? Like, get their attention here right now. If we didn't, we've got some of those, because this is important. We need to get those. There we go. We got a couple over here. man, you guys can't follow simple directions. You had to walk around the table to get to your seat today, guys. The table that says, grab one. I'm just kidding. Make the sign bigger. Maybe. All right, so here we go. That's it. This is the culture. This is the culture that we are, that we feel God is leading us to create. Listen right here, okay? When there's a problem or a victory, we pray first. When we're in need or we have plenty, we pray first. When decisions need to be made, we pray first. When we face temptation, we pray first. When we gather together, we pray first. All the time and in everything, we pray first. This is who we are. It's how we do things around here. In fact, let's do this. In more traditional churches, like they have these things that are spoken often from the front, and then the congregation has a response to those things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been in. Like, we've got the perfect spot right here to do that. And so we're going to try it, all right? If you're at home, you got to say this too, all right? Out loud at the TV right now, all right? And so I'm going to read the first part. And everybody watching online, and everybody, you're going to respond with, we pray first. It's like that, okay? So here we go. When there's a problem or a victory, that's good. When we're in need or have plenty, I love it. When decisions need to be made, when we face temptation, when we gather together, yeah, you're doing this online, you better be, all right? All the time and in everything. Yeah, come on. That's good stuff right there. Now, this is where you come in to this, all right? We're committed to, as a church, we are making some changes and making some adjustments, and this is a part of who we are. But most of you here today watching online, you probably saw the 2-minute or so video that I made this week talking about the 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you didn't get that video, it means you're not on in our system at all with contact, or you don't have Facebook like and aren't connected to us, because we send that all over the place, all right? 21 days of prayer and fasting. As a church, we are taking the next 21 days to jumpstart this movement of prayer that we feel God is leading us into. And we are asking you as individuals and as families, we're asking you to commit to set aside the next 21 days for a time of focused, planned, strategic prayer and spiritual discipline. Now, let me illustrate this of why we're doing this. Olympic gymnastics are fantastic, aren't they? Okay, love it. One of my favorite events is called the vault, all right? And in this event, the athlete sprints down in this sort of runway, hits this trampoline thing, vaults their body high into the air where they do all sorts of flips and twists, and then they somehow stick the landing. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay, play it. I have a 17-second video. Play it for me here, okay? And let's see what in the world I'm talking about, okay? Let's go. Oh, my goodness. Whoa! Ah! See? That's what we're talking about right there. Wow, he's ripped. Did anyone else think, wow, he looks like Pastor Kyle? Anyone else think that? No, you didn't. Okay? Now that little trampoline thing is actually called a springboard, is what that is. And when they hit it properly, it launches the athlete into the air and allows them to do all of those things. The springboard itself and jumping on that isn't the trick. The amazing things in the air and the landing is the trick. Are you with me? Okay? But the springboard is this vital piece to this thing. It's the thing that launches them into the air. And here's what we're praying for, okay? We are praying that these 21 days will be this massive, incredible springboard for both our church family and for you individually. It'll be the thing that, in a way, launches you and launches us into a new prayer culture that forever changes the trajectory of this church and your and our individual relationships with God. Come on. Yeah, that's what we're after. Okay, so you have this card. And let's put a picture of that thing on the screen too, just so that those online can see what we're talking about with this. So here's what we're asking you to do. We're just asking you to put together a 21-day plan for yourself. We're all at different places. We all live different lives. We're not telling you what to do. We want you to take to figure this out, okay? This will start tomorrow and go through the end of the month. And you can see it has things like daily Bible reading, daily prayer, fasting, a powerful spiritual discipline where you're not eating for a meal or a day. Or for me, I'm like, I don't want this to come across in the arrogant wrong way. This is how serious. For me, I'm fasting the next 7 days starting tomorrow, which means I'm not going to eat food for 7 days. I'm going to pray every breakfast, every lunch, and every dinner instead of eating. And it's a discipline thing that we see in the Bible, a way to get God's attention and a way to spiritually kind of like, and it's going to suck. It's going to be crazy hard. But this is how committed I am to this. This is what's happening, okay? Maybe it's a meal for you where you're skipping a meal and you're praying instead a couple times or an entire day or something like that, okay? That's what that is. We have on there a prayer notebook, which by the way, we actually made these RLC River of Life Church notebooks that we have available in the back that we're selling them in the entryway of the church today. I'm glad Jesus isn't here. He would flip our tables over. No. We got these for $6 each, and we're selling them for $5 each. Jesus said it was okay. All right. We're not making money on this deal at all. But we have those if that's something you want. Taking notes on Sunday is a big deal. It helps. Write things down. Write down prayers. Write down things. Just doing that doesn't have to be a notebook, but that's something that you can do, okay? You also see something that says prayer gatherings. For this month of January, we'll be praying together before both services in Long Prairie and Sauk Center in the morning. This morning at about 8:15, we had about 30 people in here praying. 8:15 to 8:35. Long Prairie, that starts at 9:15. We're also going to be praying Sunday evenings, starting tonight even, at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 o'clock. The idea, like, we want you to prayerfully put together a plan of how does 21 days for you get set apart? How does 21 days for you become something that springboards you into something? Because many of us in this place, you know this, as you've been hearing me talk, you've been thinking, I am that complacent American he's talking about. All right? And the reality is many of us, that's our, you know, and I go through seasons of in and out of that. But right now, we're calling you to something different. And actually, we've created this incredible webpage on our church that goes into details about all of these with links and different things. And so after church, go to that thing. It's on the bottom of your card too. But you can find it on our church webpage. And it just has details and information. If you don't know what fasting is, there's a lot for you to figure out. If you don't know how to pray, it'll help you, all of those types of things, okay? Please stand with me all over this place. This morning, we're not going to sing at the end. In fact, I'm not even going to have the band up here for some pretty background music as I talk. But I am calling you to action. Action, and you have a choice. We're not making anybody do anything. We don't even want to manipulate you or guilt you into anything. There's a hunger inside of me that says there's more to this than I have. And in a way, the word is like I'm just becoming desperate for more of God than I have in my life right now. I want to hear his voice better. I want him to lead me. I want to experience supernatural things and moments more often when I talk to people and all like that. That is what I'm after. I want to see our church change the lives of individuals as they encounter God in this place more and more and more and more. If you want to go to complacent, lazy, put in your time Sunday morning service, this may not be the church for you. Because God is calling us to something. God is calling our church to an elevated level of connection with him through prayer. And what does it look like for you? What does it look like for you to take 21 days and to move in that direction? To do things that you've never done, because very simply, if we want to see things we've never seen, we need to do things we've never done. We pray first. It's who we are. It's the way we do things around here. It's the culture we will create, and we believe we will see God move. Amen? With no one looking around for just a moment, just a time of privacy and reflection, let's start here. Maybe you're in this place today or watching online, and you're simply saying, Pastor Kyle, I don't have this relationship with God that you're even talking about. I'm not asking you if you go to church or if you are confirmed or baptized or any of those things. Like, do you have this relationship with God? Have you ever gone to Him and said, God, I give you my life. I repent of my sins. I move away from that. I want to give my life to you. And maybe you're here, maybe you're watching this right now, and you'd say, Pastor Kyle, I've never done that before, and I want to do that today. Today's your day. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Online right now, you have a spot to respond. You can hit raise a hand or respond or whatever that looks like. Anyone else in this place that would say, today is my day? Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's pray together, everyone in this place. This is a heart thing between you and God. It's a heart thing. But let's pray this. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Come on, can you celebrate that with me for a moment? For those that raised their hand. Listen, if you raised your hand for that, and we had people do that today in a very serious and sincere way, I could feel it. All right? Listen, if that's you, then you begin to prioritize some of this stuff. The next 21 days could be massively important for you as you set this apart in that way. All right? Let me pray for us as a church, and then we are going to let you go. You have that card. It's for you to do on your own. Our website is a great resource if you're looking to do that. Prayer tonight at 6 o'clock, next Sunday in the morning. Okay, all of that you've heard. Let's pray as we leave. God, we come to you and ask and pray that the next 21 days would be an incredible springboard into what you have for us as a church. God, that the culture would change, that things would move, that prayer would be who we are and what we do around here. And so, God, we want to be people of prayer. Help us to move in that direction. God, let this be the start of something special. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. You are dismissed.